The Wall Street Journal called it a passionate, practical roadmap to self-determination. Tim Ferriss praised it as the entrepreneurial wake-up call of our generation. Unscripted by MJ DeMarco isn't just another self-help book. It's a manifesto for those who refuse to accept the default life path society has laid out for them. What if everything you've been taught about success, wealth, and happiness is fundamentally flawed? What if the conventional wisdom of get good grades, find a stable job, save diligently, and retire at 65 is actually a carefully designed trap that keeps you financially dependent and spiritually unfulfilled? DeMarco, who retired in his 30s after selling his internet company, offers a radical alternative. Entrepreneurship as a vehicle not just for wealth, but for complete life reclamation. His philosophy has attracted a cult following among those seeking to escape what he calls the script, the socially engineered path that leads to a life of quiet desperation disguised as success. Monday morning, 5:15 a.m. The alarm screams that Nickelback song you once loved but now hate, the same song that's been your wake-up call for 3 years because you're too exhausted to figure out how to change it. You drag yourself from bed, dreading the week ahead, joints aching from a mattress you can't afford to replace. After showering and meticulously dressing in your $800 suit, bought on credit during a promotion that never materialized, you grab artificially colored cereal, breaking your diet plan for the fourth time this week. Your Mercedes, the status symbol you thought would make you feel successful, has lost its luster despite 57 payments remaining and mysterious rattles the dealer can't seem to fix. You join thousands in bumper-to-bumper traffic, all trapped in expensive boxes that fail to mask collective misery. Through tinted windows, you observe fellow commuters, a woman applying makeup at 70 miles per hour, a man screaming into his phone about quarterly reports, teenagers pressed against school bus windows looking as defeated as their parents. The radio blares advertisements for antidepressants between traffic updates that offer no hope of movement. At work, you discover your cubicle neighbor was fired for outsourcing his job to China, a desperate attempt to manage his own crushing workload, and his responsibilities have been dumped on you with the vague promise of exposure and growth opportunities. More hours, same pay, while your CEO announces record profits in all staff emails. You can't quit with your mountain of debt, the mortgage, the car payment, private school tuition, and the lifestyle your partner insists on maintaining to keep up appearances in the neighborhood you couldn't really afford. The day drags as you count minutes until freedom, scheduling your bathroom breaks to avoid your micromanaging supervisor, only to find a five-car pileup delays your commute by hours. At home, you numb yourself with alcohol and scroll mindlessly through social media feeds full of carefully curated happiness, eventually passing out to late-night infomercials promising better lives through more purchases. You wake to do it all again. Your dreams of writing that novel, starting that business, or traveling the world replaced by car payments and living for weekends that disappear too quickly. This story might not be yours exactly, but elements of it likely resonate deep in your bones. Perhaps you recognize the Sunday night dread that begins creeping in around 3 p.m., the quiet resignation in your parents' eyes when they visit, or that persistent feeling that something is fundamentally wrong with your life despite doing everything right. College, career, marriage, house, kids, in the prescribed order. These whispers of discontent aren't random. They're your consciousness desperately knocking, telling you that you're not living by free will, but by a script written long before you were born. Like in The Matrix, we're living in a grand deception, not by artificial intelligence, but by conventional intelligence, a system so pervasive it's nearly invisible. This operating system has granted you an inauthentic life of someone else's design, a predictable blueprint of mediocrity where dreams are forsaken for paychecks and passion is sacrificed for security. The uneasiness you feel isn't just stress or burnout. It's your soul's recognition that something fundamental is amiss, a cosmic alarm bell that won't stop ringing until you wake up. The script isn't a physical manual, but an invisible operating system commanding how you think, work, play, and eventually die. As Steve Jobs warned, don't be trapped by dogma, which is living with the results of other people's thinking. The script is precisely this, a gospel of cultural presumptions woven by others, reinforced through media, education, and social norms that shape our perception of what constitutes a successful life. It dictates your entire life path with remarkable precision. Excel in school, attend a prestigious college, accumulate student debt, secure a respectable yet often unfulfilling job, embrace consumerism, marry by a certain age, have 2.5 kids, obsess over retirement planning, and eventually die, all while dreams slowly wither. You trade your precious time for money in 40-hour weekly installments, stack debt through mortgages and car loans to feel accomplished, and blindly trust financial systems designed to extract your life force through hidden fees and compound interest. You follow fashion trends religiously, worship celebrities as lifestyle models, and distract yourself from the existential emptiness through social media and entertainment. As you age, you gradually settle for less, stop dreaming altogether, and anxiously wait for a retirement that may never adequately arrive due to inflation and economic uncertainties. Before the script clawed into your consciousness, you were genuinely free, with fantastic dreams of becoming an artist, astronaut, or entrepreneur, filled with unstoppable visions of changing the world. But then you grew up, and suddenly you were no longer the boss of you. The educational system, with its standardized testing and rigid conformity, methodically prepared you for the Monday through Friday grind. Everyone who once encouraged your dreams dramatically changed their stories. Be realistic. Grow up. That's impossible. You need a backup plan. Reality became mediocrity, painted by those around you who themselves had surrendered to the script's limitations. The script operates through two powerful channels: the compromise party of convention, friends, family, co-workers who parrot scripted doctrine because it's all they know, often out of genuine but misguided concern, and the profiteering party of prejudice, those who actively profit from script speak through financial products, self-help books, retirement plans, and services designed to keep you in the system. Together, they create a sophisticated operating system that programs your mind to accept voluntary slavery, designed for obedience and economic servitude. This system is reinforced through subtle social pressures, targeted advertising, and the constant fear of falling behind or being labeled as unsuccessful by society standards. Like Plato's prisoners mistaking shadows for reality, we're chained and mesmerized by the script's hyper-realities, simulations that seamlessly blend fiction with reality until we can't distinguish between them. These illusions are so powerful that our lazy brains accept them without question, leading to misperceived reality, misguided beliefs, misguided actions, unwanted results, and ultimately dissatisfaction. Named days are perhaps the most pervasive hyperreality. While watching a horror movie alone on a Tuesday morning, I realized the true horror was happening outside. Millions of people killing their Tuesday by postponing their life until the weekend. This segregation of your precious time by day names is entirely artificial. There's no celestial reason for a 7-day week. For every other creature on Earth, named days don't exist. Your dog doesn't know the difference between Sunday and Tuesday except for how much time you spend with him. Consumerism perpetuates the myth that consumption produces success or happiness. Despite what advertisements tell us, you are not what you own, but you can be owned by what you own. If the script is a jail cell, consumerism and its resulting debt are the bars. When I bought my first Lamborghini, it was 5% car and 95% hyper-reality, yet it dramatically altered how people treated me. At nightclubs, I bypassed lines in the Lambo, but waited with everyone else in my Toyota, though nothing about me had changed except perception. The college degree hyperreality has two prongs. First, it's the stale idea that intelligence and wealth require a degree regardless of cost, and life without one means underachievement. Second, it's the notion that spending a fortune on a degree in whatever you're passionate about guarantees a job after graduation. The truth is, we're sending an entire generation to college for degrees they can't use for jobs that don't exist, while student loan debt tops $1 trillion. Perhaps the most fraudulent hyperreality is freedom itself, the perception that we're born sovereign with inalienable rights that can't be subjugated. The truth is, we're more like free-range livestock, given the illusion of freedom while being held captive for our economic output. Everything we own is actually owned by the government. I paid cash for my Arizona house, but don't truly own it. I merely have equitable title to use it as long as I pay property taxes. Stop paying those taxes, even just $6, as happened to a Pennsylvania woman, and the government repossesses your property. Our life is rationed by time, 24 hours daily that burn away regardless of how we use them. This universal currency is both democratic and ruthless. Whether you're a CEO or street sweeper, you get the same daily allowance. As a teenager working at Sears, I had an epiphany while calculating my hourly wage. The things we buy don't just cost money, they cost fragments of our life. That $50 shirt, it wasn't just currency, it was 5 hours of my existence. Using the movie In Time as an illustration, where people literally use time as currency, we all have invisible death clocks ticking away, spending our minutes on both necessities and frivolities. The scripted life typically results in 63 years of indentured time versus only 12 years of free time. Break it down. 40 plus years working, 8 years commuting, 7 years getting ready for work, 3 years in meetings, and various other time debt obligations. What remains, roughly 12 years, is your free time, often spent recovering from work or preparing for the next workday. This temporal prostitution represents the worst trade mankind has ever foisted on intelligent beings. Selling good time today, your youth, energy, and creativity, to buy bad time tomorrow, retirement years with declining health and energy. This temporal prostitution manifests in two seemingly different life paths that ultimately converge at the same regretful destination. The first path, the sidewalk, promises immediate gratification and happiness through consumption, but creates a prison of debt and dependence. Sidewalkers live paycheck to paycheck, chasing the latest iPhone, luxury car lease, or trendy vacation spot. They have no financial plan beyond pursuing cash to fund credit-based lifestyles, trading tomorrow's freedom for today's pleasures. The second path, the slow lane, represents trading today for tomorrow's freedom through saving and investing. While appearing responsible and heavily promoted by the financial industry, it essentially asks you to incarcerate 90% of your adult life in a job/Wall Street scheme, hoping to enjoy the last 10%. Slow laners sacrifice their prime years, betting on compound interest and market returns to deliver freedom at 65. Where sidewalkers are leashed by consumption and debt, slow laners are leashed by deprivation and hope. Both equally trapped in the temporal trade. Both paths inevitably lead to M-O-D-E-L citizenry, mediocre, settling for unremarkably ordinary lives, obedient, following popular opinion without questioning, dependent, owned by corporations, debt, and time commitments, entertained, distracted by social media, Netflix, and consumer culture from your soul's voice, and lifeless, dead inside long before physical death. The tragedy isn't just the trade itself, but that most people never recognize they're making it, unconsciously exchanging their irreplaceable time for paper promises and delayed dreams. The essence of an unscripted life is captured in the phrase, "fuck you," representing the ability to reject unwanted obligations, restrictions, and expectations. This lifestyle offers 5 primary freedoms: freedom from work, owning your time; freedom from scarcity, financial independence; freedom from hyper-realistic influence, making unconstrained choices; freedom from hope and dependence, and freedom from ordinary routine. Being unscripted means eliminating indentured time. You don't need to work another day in your life. I retire decades early, yet still receive income daily. This freedom transforms work from necessity to choice, allowing me to pursue meaningful projects with complete integrity rather than compromising for sales. Financial freedom allows me to live without common financial burdens. I paid cash for my home, no mortgage, own my vehicles outright, and escape the control of a homeowners association. More importantly, I'm free from the financial straitjacket of scarcity thinking, able to make purchases without anxiety or guilt about spending money. Breaking free from routine means escaping cultural patterns that don't serve happiness, the daily commute, 9-to-5 schedule, Sunday blues, and once-a-year vacations. As a limo driver, I witnessed a miserable executive who only showed humanity when breaking routine for a Hawaiian vacation. Unscripted living means freedom from societal expectations about appearance and lifestyle, living by your own standards rather than society's. The journey to an unscripted life begins with a painful FTE. Not a leisurely stroll, but a traumatic epiphany when the pain of status quo exceeds the anticipated pain of escape. My own FTE came at age 26, sitting in a limousine during a blizzard after chauffeuring ungrateful clients, realizing my business degrees were worthless and my life meaningless. In that moment of contemplating suicide, I decided something needed to change, and that something was myself. Before you can escape the script, you must first recognize and overcome the mental frameworks that keep you trapped. These fundamental elements, beliefs, biases, and bullshit, the three B's, form the psychological prison preventing unscripted living. Beliefs are concepts we regard as true, and we often seek validation through collective groupthink rather than questioning them. Many beliefs aren't our original thoughts, but doctrines planted by others or passed down generationally. Breaking free requires questioning and polarizing 8 belief dichotomies, thinking black when the world thinks white. The first belief dichotomy is the shortcut scam, which pits events, 99%, against process, 1%. This scam promotes the false idea that extraordinary results can be achieved through secret bypasses or miracle solutions rather than hard work. We live in a microwave culture demanding immediate results, but the uncomfortable truth is that extraordinary outcomes require extraordinary effort through daily habits and sacrifices. The special scam is a destructive belief that our talents are either sufficient without improvement or fixed and unchangeable. This double-edged belief either tells us I'm already great or I can't improve, both justifying avoidance of the necessary work for growth. The fixed mindset, believing talents are innate and unchangeable, destroys potential by making people avoid challenges and feedback. The consumer scam disconnects consumption from its corresponding production necessity, a belief programmed since childhood that stuff creates positive emotions without consequences. Americans are drowning in debt. 35% are past due on payments, and 18% expect to never pay it off. Behind this insanity lies the consumer scam, consumption without correlation to production. The money scam affects 99% of people who view money as something mysterious to be hunted or manipulated. Money isn't tangible prey. It's a transaction mediator where agreed perceived value is stored. Your net worth simply scoreboards how much perceived value you've created beyond what you've consumed. The poverty scam is the zero-sum belief that you're broke because someone else is rich. This scam creates a villain narrative where wealthy people and corporations are automatically viewed as selfish, greedy, or untrustworthy. The truth, obscured by political slogans and media narratives, is that everything great in society happened because money moved massively due to massive value creation, which created rich people. Entrepreneurship ultimately lives or dies in your head. Through reversing limiting beliefs, unbinding biases, and confronting bullshit. Without training your brain to think critically about how it thinks, your unscripted efforts will be short-lived and unsuccessful. Great achievements require extraordinary commitment, the kind that keeps the ballerina practicing while others sleep, the fitness competitor ordering salad while others eat pizza, and the inventor working in isolation while others party. This commitment isn't fueled by fleeting willpower or motivational videos, but by meaning and purpose, the core reasons why you act despite hardship, criticism, and seemingly impossible odds. Contrary to popular belief, do what you love and follow your passion are destructive Trojan horses into a fixed mindset that justify avoiding necessary discomfort. The secret to success isn't do what you love, but do what you hate. How much pain you'll endure determines your potential success. Meaning and purpose, not passion, drives transformative action. Passion doesn't drive success. Success drives passion. As a septic tank millionaire told Mike Rowe, "I looked around to see where everyone else was headed, then went the opposite way. Then one day, I realized I was passionate about other people's crap." Finding purpose requires active engagement with life rather than passive contemplation. Recluses won't discover purpose in isolation. You must instigate life through commerce, volunteering, exercise, or other meaningful activities. For those still searching, try the value challenge. Simply smile genuinely at strangers until someone smiles back, then notice how good it feels to add value to someone else's life. Contrary to popular belief, happiness doesn't come from doing what you love. It comes from autonomy. Research shows autonomy accounts for 40% of our happiness quotient, while circumstances contribute only 10% and genetics 50%. Multiple studies confirmed that having control over your life is a stronger predictor of well-being than any objective condition. A productocracy pulls money to value creators through businesses that grow organically via recommendations and repeat customers. Companies that rely heavily on advertising often reveal product mediocrity. I tested this theory by examining heavily advertised local businesses, finding they average just 2 stars on Yelp. A true productocracy follows 5 core commandments called sense: control, entry, need, time, and scale. When a business makes sense, it makes sense for building an unscripted life. The commandment of control warns against hitchhiking, when your business depends symbiotically on another vehicle owned by someone else. I learned this painfully with network marketing, where my income was slashed overnight when a company discontinued a product and my top distributor quit. The commandment of entry teaches that when barriers to entry are removed from business creation, opportunity deteriorates. When anyone can enter a market with minimal effort, competition explodes and margins collapse, as seen in ebook prices dropping from $9.99 to $1.99. The harder something is to execute, the stronger the moat protecting your business from competition. The commandment of need forms the foundation of the sense framework, the tabletop supported by the other 4 commandments as legs. In an imperfect world, opportunities abound. Entrepreneurs who can't find them are simply avoiding the hard work, unknown variables, and risk of failure. Most aspiring entrepreneurs focus on getting rich rather than providing value, missing the fundamental truth that wealth comes from solving problems. The commandment of time breaks the link between time and income, ending temporal prostitution, where income requires sacrificing life. This commandment enables earning perpetually through time rather than in time, making money while sleeping. The big irony of passive income is it's anything but passive. It requires extraordinary upfront effort. The commandment of scale instructs that legacy value systems must be replicated through mass or magnitude while making a profitable impact. Scale doesn't always mean reaching millions. It can come through magnitude, significant impact on fewer clients, or mass market reach. After successful entrepreneurship, many are shocked to discover they don't know how to create passive income from their accumulated wealth. When passive income exceeds your living expenses, work becomes optional, a surprisingly attainable goal with no debt. An effective, unscripted money system is allocated into two mandatory pots and one optional pot. 1. The fuck you pot, idle cash providing options and liquidity for opportunities. 2. The home pot, optional, your dream home owned free and clear. 3. The paycheck pot, passive income system funding your lifestyle. The paycheck pot is the most crucial component, a passive income system of financial instruments paying your bills and funding your lifestyle. This pot represents the transition from managing a business to managing money, essentially creating a capital rental system. The rent rule demands that whenever you cede control of your money, you must receive rent, not promises or coin flip dreams. Instead of gambling on price appreciation, demand regular income through dividends, interest, or partnership distributions paid monthly or quarterly. The SNAP rule requires that paycheck pot investments remain highly liquid, recallable back to cash at the snap of a finger. When trouble appears, you must be able to exit positions quickly, usually within 24 hours or even seconds. The apocalypse rule states that the only catastrophic threat to your principal should come from a global financial apocalypse, not from a single company's failure. Invest only with recognized megalithic companies subject to considerable governance and transparency rules. Going unscripted begins as a mental seed that blossoms into abundance and happiness when cultivated with resolve. Don't surrender your life story to the script, but take immediate action, starting today rather than postponing change. Your life, liberty, and pursuit of entrepreneurship await.